Aloha everybody, it's Paul here at the War Room, and we're shouting a little bit so that you can hear. And I'm driving back from a Cambridge too far. And for me, it wasn't too far. And I'm in the car, I've got Brian Forrester,
hey guys,
who's joining us in the show. So there'll be lots of bumps because we're in the car. So, Brian. Cambridge too far. What were your impressions as a first time attendee?
Absolutely loved it. I've never played in a tournament of that size. I didn't do as well as I would like, but at the same time I played three fun games, three fun opponents. Quite funny in round one, going all the way down to Cambridge and then against the good mate Ali from Home Guard Radio, who we play regularly up in Scotland anyway. But yeah, had a good game with him. Lost quite substantially, but I went fluffy, is all I'm saying. And two other good games, played against Aaron Price, who was playing Americans. Quite lucky in that game, I'll be honest, and I got a major win on there. And my final game, Simon Cass, I was playing against. And he was again playing Americans, but I got a minor loss on that one. Came down to dice. We both had the same amount of objectives, but hey, he killed more than mine than I killed of his, so he wins the game. So, but yeah, three fun games, three good games. Caught up with a lot of guys that I'd met a few years ago when I was down in VHGS in Manchester. Met some new guys, met some of the juggernauts, had a bit of banter with them. Got my gizmo, or widget, whatever you want to call it, so happy. Yeah, good times. Met John Russell. Heard a lot about him, seen him on the cast. Yeah, two nights away without the wife and kids.
Ooh.
Peace, quiet, decent night's sleep, sorted.
Excellent. Yeah, I had a pretty good time as well. As everybody is bored to tears with by now, took down the Dutch. And the Dutch did mighty well, to be honest with you, but we'll come on to that later. I played, I was supposed to call out Topher Buckle from the Juggernauts, winner of the 2017 GT and second in the 2018 GT, but the call out didn't come first game, so I ended up playing Gaz Walsh in the first game with his RAF regiment, and it was, so Gaz, who's organising the Imps Open, which is coming up shortly, so if you're looking for a competition in the Lincoln area, go off and search for the Imps Open and tell Gaz I sent you. He'll charge you more than he would have. So well worth going in. It's an excellent competition they're running, and they should have free Warlord GT tickets up as a first prize, as well as lots of other prize support. So that was my first game. Second game, I actually got to play Topher in the grudge match, much anticipated, at least by Topher and myself. We had a great game, good fun. The last game, I played against Ken Baldock's, one of Ken Baldock's group, I think. So forgive me, because I've forgotten your name. I'm really terrible for names. I'm a horrible person. He gave me a really good game, which was very close. Just couldn't roll dice, and I was rolling sevens, so it is what it is. But overall, had a great day. Bumped into an awful lot of old friends, as Brian was saying. Met some new friends and those idiots from the Juggernaut podcast. Bumped into them, and Paul Wickens, who was going to let me place a 100-1 bet against myself to beat Topher. We'll see how that came out. So Paul was there, we had good fun with him, and of course Steve Tibbs, who's running the event. We had a good bit of a chat with Steve, runs a very tight ship down there, and as always, everybody seemed to be really happy with the event. Whew, right, so where should we go next? Results?
Yeah,
so we're going to have a look at results. The official results are in. They do make fairly interesting reading, bearing in mind that Steve likes to vet lists before they go in. So one or two people I know had the list sent back to them to resubmit and behave. In previous years, I think last year I was called out as having one of the cheesy lists, for want of a better word. I think there was only one list that I'm aware of that was called out as cheesy this year, and they did win the cheese award, but we'll come on to that in a bit. So, results, Brian. Brian's sat there with all the information as I'm driving at the moment.
Get the iPad out.
Bum, bum, bum.
So, how are we going to look at this? Are we just going to look at first, second, third, or are we going to...
Go ahead. Put them out of the misery.
Okay, so first place in was Paul Jones. He was playing an Italian list, so we win for the minor powers.
Exactly. So he did well, because not many people expect Italians to win.
Yeah, well, we've got a copy of his list, so once we've done this, we can have a quick wee look at it, yep, and just see what was in it, so we're cool with that. In second place was Dan from the list of Juggernauts.
What was Dan?
He was playing the United States.
Is he playing the United States?
He was playing the United States, yes.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And then we've got some dodgy geezer from the War HQ in third place with a Dutch army. So we can always say it's Gouda now rather than cheese, I suppose. Yeah. So, but again, no surprise, it is a really good list. You don't think so yourself, but... Yeah, I didn't think so,
but folk are telling me it's a good list, so it maybe has.
It's definitely got its strengths. Interestingly, looking at the top 20 places, there's actually only two access lists in the entire lot.
Yeah, that was a surprise, actually, I think, anyway.
I counted looking through this earlier. I might be one or two out or something. I'm not great for reading in a car, to be honest. But I think there's only 20 access lists.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah, for only two to be in the top 20 was a bit of a shock. And neither of them were Japanese, they were both German.
Yep.
Japanese, I think, first place, or the highest place Japanese player was down in the 40s or 50s.
Yeah, there was only two Japanese lists at the tournament.
Yeah.
Which I find surprising, maybe nobody else does, but I thought there would be more Japanese.
Yeah. 49th, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that was Pete there for the Juggernauts as well.
Was that Pete? He must have been behaving himself that day.
He must have been. Minor powers though. Looking at minor powers in the top 20, we've got Italians at first, Dutch at third, 10th we've got Chinese, 11th we've got Mr. Baldock himself, Ken.
Yep, Ken. So what was Ken playing Italians?
He was playing Italians as
Italians.
Well. We had Finnish at 12, Free France at 14, and Royal Naval Marines at 20. I'm trying to work out if they're actually a minor nation or not, but so the rest of the Allies, wise, you're looking, Great Britain, Soviet Union for most of it, and two Americans in the top 20.
So, a few unexpected, it'd be fair to say that although Cambridge is a Swiss run event, Swiss draw event, with only three games and nearly 100 players, you probably need another couple of games to give it a bit better shakeout.
Yeah.
But still, it's surprising who came in the top.
We were discussing this when we're looking at the points. There's only three players that we can, by looking at the points, we can say they definitely had three wins.
Yeah.
Because 15 points gives you the three major wins, 14 points is two majors and a minor.
Yeah.
So once we get down to the 13, there's a chance there's three wins in there, because it could be two minors and a major, but it could also be two minors and a draw.
Yeah.
Sorry, two majors and a draw. So just looking at the figures, we can't really tell what that is one way or another.
So on average, there was probably somewhere about 10, maybe 8 to 10 guys won three games.
Yeah,
is it as many as that?
I would speculate that would probably be around about right, because even at 12 points, it could be three minor wins.
Yeah.
So 12 points above, so the top 14 players have got 12 points or more. So potentially they could all have three wins.
And it can be very close, because potentially I was one unit short of having three major wins. If I killed another unit in my first game against Gaz, I would have had three majors. Might have been interesting.
If that had happened, you'd still be joint second looking at it, because looking at the difference for and against, Paul Jones, who obviously came first with the Italians, had a a difference of 16
yeah.
on his dice. That's a pretty hefty difference, to be honest. You yourself had 10.
Yeah, because they counted dice as a secondary in two of the
missions. Yeah.
So yes. That was pretty cool. So even with 100 players, I would have thought there might have been more people on three wins potentially.
Yeah.
I'm quite surprised that I was one of them, to be honest. But yeah.
No surprise as the rest of us.
It was only because. Yeah, well, that's very true. But not as surprised as Toph, though. Toph was the most surprised, closely followed by Paul Wickens.
Yeah, we bet you wish I put a fiver on that one, eh?
Oh, I wish I put a fiver on that one. And he would have taken it at the time, I bet you.
That would have paid for a few more armies. So let's have a quick look at the army, if I can find it in here now. So
yeah, so we're going to have a look at the actual list for the Italians that won. I think one of the comments that Steve Tibbs made was that you don't have to have 24 dice and multiple launchers, and this army showed exactly that, to be honest. Having a quick look through now, so it was an Italian army, single platoon, if I recall correctly.
It was, yeah. I've lost internet connection on this thing at the moment, but out of memory, there was four squads of seven guys, all late war parachutes. I have it in my head, there was an LMG, two SMGs, possibly. Can the Italians get assault rifles? It might have been one. It was an SMG on the sergeant as well.
Yeah.
A Panzerfaust in each unit and a rifle, or three rifles
yeah.
it was. So three rifles, LMG, three SMGs, I think is how it worked. So there's four squads of them. There was a sniper team. There was the Autoblinder 41 with the light autocannon.
Yep.
And it's an M1340 tank.
Yeah, the tank, which was it light? Anti-tank gun
yeah.
with a coaxial and two hull-mounted machine guns?
Possibly, yeah.
So possibly the Italian version of a poor man's Stuart, I guess.
Yeah.
And it came out about the same points, I think, if I remember rightly.
135, something like that.
135.
They had a truck, which was just basic.
Yep.
And they had a first lieutenant, which was veteran. So all these foot troops, foot sloggers, were all veteran. And his Autoblinder, the M1340, and the truck were all regular.
Yeah.
So it was only a 10 dice list.
Yeah.
But it probably shows the power of veteran troops, because they're so much more resilient in combat, or shooting anyway. The difference it makes just from regular to veteran. And I never use veteran, maybe I should at some point. So yeah, it looks like a really standard list, but it was obviously in the hands of somebody that can play the game.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to play it, so I'd have liked to have seen how he played his army. Because to be honest, I'm still of the opinion it's more about the guy playing the army than what he's playing with.
Absolutely. I always maintain, you know, give an average army to a good player and he'll do well with it. So
that was the winning list. So I think that's going to surprise quite a few people what was in that list.
Yep.
Hopefully encourage a bit more people that it's just not about what's in somebody's list that makes a winner. I mean, you hark back to some of the Juggernaut players and they get some chatter over the internet about the type of lists they play. I don't have any problem with them at all. I've played some of those lists myself from time to time.
I've never played a bad dodgy.
You've never played, no, never. Never.
You know what though, but I will, like yourself, whatever you put down in front of me, I'll play against it.
But I think those guys would be nearly as successful with almost any list you put in front of them if they'd had, you know, a little bit of practice. One of the things those guys do is they practice with their armies, so they know how their army works. Probably a lot more than your average bolt-action player, I think it would be fair to say.
Yeah. Knowing the books inside out, knowing the rules inside out.
Knowing the rules is one of the biggest pluses, I think.
Knowing your FAQs inside out.
Yeah. And to be honest, when you play the guys from Juggernauts, they know all that stuff.
Exactly. But you know what? You play against those guys, you learn it.
You do?
I never got the... I wasn't fortunate enough to play against any of the guys. And I came down here hoping that I would. like a light bulb moment. I was playing Ali Unicom, and just to call Ali out as well, by the way, he won Best Army for his army.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Go and look at the pictures.
Yeah, look at the pictures. I'm sure Paul's got. Maybe he hasn't, but he will.
Ali has put up some pictures on Ken Baldock, the eccentric man, in the Facebook page is the Church of the Unpainted Mini.
Yeah.
He's put up some really close up shots in there, which show them off.
Well, let's just say these are the unpainted minis.
So go and have a look, Church of the Unpainted Mini with Ken.
The funny thing is, we play against Ali all the time. And you kind of take it for granted that you're playing against a great looking army.
Yeah.
And then you look at the figures up close, especially when you see it in the figures. He's got bloody stubble painted on them. He's got eyebrows painted on them. His eyeballs are in them. It's just like, come on. I'm just going to go home and burn my brushes.
Yeah.
So, fair play to Al. Absolutely fantastic army again. And we probably should have mentioned that close to the start since he's one of us.
But back to the rules. You were playing Ali.
Yeah, playing Ali. And he was playing with his German list. And out comes an Ebelwerfer, he's firing an Ebelwerfer, and light bulb moment, as I said, was, Christ, you can actually rotate this thing on the spot. It's like having 360 degree arc, because it always hits on sixes.
Yeah.
And it was like, because you get the minus one if you move a light artillery or artillery piece round, minus one for moving it to then shoot it by moving its arc. Doesn't bother an Ebelwerfer one way or another anyway. So there was... Does it make it better? Yeah. No, it doesn't, because it's a six.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But it's a 360.
It means it's got a 360 arc, which does make it better.
Yeah. The only thing that would make it, if it had a gun shoot.
Yeah.
But 360 degree arc for that. Playing against Aaron Price. And Christ, I've played this game for how long now, and I didn't even realise this. But it was only when I shot at one of his teams. Might have been his sniper team. No, it wasn't, it was his bazooka team. Shot the bazooka team, killed one of the guys. I was like, there's a pin marker, test at minus one, mate. And he went, no, it's a test at minus two. I'm like, why is it a test at minus two? And it's because when they go down a single man from a two man team, they get a further minus one, because it's like losing my NCO. And I was like, alright.
Yeah, well, that exactly the same thing happened to me when I think my last opponent killed my sniper's buddy. And he quite lightly pointed out, and I know, but I was like, do you know what? I've never played that, even though I know it. And it's like,
So it shows that playing in tournaments is a fantastic way to learn rules that you've either overlooked because it's been in some obscure place in the book, which it happens, or just in your local area, it's completely overlooked as part of the meta, or it's a house rule or whatever, but playing the rules as they are and as they're written in the books, it's a great way to learn them. Go to a tournament.
It is indeed, and again, it's a great social thing at a tournament, I believe.
Absolutely. Look at the amount of guys that had hangovers when they came in on the Saturday morning.
Including this Scotland team. I think we had two of the Scotland team down. Yourself and
three
of the Scotland team.
Well,
Graham, yeah.
Graham as well. Yeah. Graham is in our second Scotland team.
And not quite as successful a trip down south for Scotland as our last trip down south, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, but.
Hopefully the guys all enjoyed themselves. It's good to go out and play against different players.
Exactly. I was just hoping to come down and play three new guys. But played two. Absolutely great guys to play against. Had a good laugh. No rules. Upsets, nothing like that. Played a couple of good games. Shake hands before, shake hands after, and a chat after. Got speaking to Martin, who's in the German squad.
Going
over to Poland.
He'd come across from Germany.
Furthest travelled player. So
he also picked up a prize. Was he third access player?
Yes, second.
I think second access. Yeah,
second access player. He was playing Africa Corps. Lovely looking little army had as well. Absolutely fantastic guy to chat with.
Yep, member of the German squad.
Yeah,
squad,
so
yep.
Looking forward to meeting up with him in Poland again. And I'm sure we'll get a few beers while we're over there, maybe. and obviously two or three of the English squad were there as well.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure who's in the English squad. Topher's captain.
I think it might be Topher captain. I think, is it? Dan's going maybe.
Is Dan going home? Dan, I'll be serious.
Oh, well,
Dan'll be at it. Dan came second.
Dan came second, yeah.
Cambridge.
Although everyone thought he came second at the Nationals, eh? But
he won the Nationals.
He won the Nationals fair and square, yeah, but obviously somebody else gets all the attention. And I did allude to that for him, just to wind him up a wee bit and get his ankles up his back. But no, let's be fair, when we all go over to Poland, we're all going to be bringing the filth. So.
But yeah, no, it was good fun. So, from a social aspect, I thought Cambridge was really good. There wasn't really enough chatting time for me.
Never enough chatting time.
Well, my first game was against Gaz, so we got plenty of chatting time. Plenty of slagging, nice close game. So it's nice to see what Gaz is doing. He's got his Air Force regiment, less said about the better, but it's an absolute beautiful army.
Yeah.
I think he's got...
He's even got targets painted on top of his stuff.
He's got the RAF Wrangles on top of his vehicles. They were really good. As you know, we bumped into Ken, the eccentric man, with his Italians. We had a good chat with Ken. Ken's been playing some American Civil War.
Yeah, I can't remember what we called it, but
yeah, so he's been expressing interest. Ken obviously plays an awful lot of Cruel Seas as well at the moment, so we're getting a bit of a chat, a bit of an update on that. Who else did I meet? Well, John Russell, of course. I picked John Russell from Warlord America up, the Warlord events coordinator, manager, boss, god, guru, whatever. And that was really good. We got a couple of hours chat both ways, going from Nottingham down to Cambridge. I'm calling it Cambridge now.
That's Cambridge. So.
I know, but there, yeah. So,
but in Scotland, it's Cambridge.
Cambridge, that's right. So that was good, trying to get secrets out of John. We all know that the D-Day book is coming up. He's got his career book coming out, and at the end of the year, as we all know, we've got the Pillow something book.
Yeah, something to do with islands.
Something to do with islands in the Pacific, so looking forward to all that. There's going to be a big day at Nottingham for the D-Day, as they're calling it, the beach party.
Yep.
So they're going to have an event there, Axis Against Allies. You can still buy tickets for that. It's going to be quite a historical event. So that should be fun for all you guys. So talking to John, I'm going to be meeting John across an Adepticon. Lots of news coming from Warlord shortly, if you can hold on to it. Who else did we meet? Steve Debs. He was updating us on the situation there for the event and how it was going. Obviously all the guys from the Juggernauts, who are infamous, if you like. They were a great bunch in good spirits, and we were all having a bit of crack along the way, so that was interesting. Oh, can't think off the top of my head. Who else was there? Who were you meeting up with, Brian?
Bumped into Cy Chandler again, Simon Chandler. Last time I saw him was at BHS Manchester a couple of years back. We played in the very last game at the BHS.
Cy would be playing British again, I'm guessing.
I don't know what he was playing, I never saw him.
I think he was playing British.
But yeah, in the last game at Manchester a few years back, I stopped him winning in the very last game, which allowed... Gets all the stick for the Stuarts and the players going to Manchester.
Mike Goss.
Yeah, Mike Goss won that day, but I still maintain he won because I stopped signing. So I helped the Japanese to the top that day. But yeah, so it was good catching up with him. I met Ken and Gaz for the first time. So yeah, they were nice guys, had a good chat with both of them.
Chat from Dog Tag Miniatures was there, and apologies, I can't remember your name. With his he's got new models out for motorbike.
They were nice.
Hungarians.
Yeah, had a wee squint of them, they were nice.
He was there, so there was lots of folk there. There was far more than I can remember. remember.
Had a wee shop running and everything as well.
Yep, shop was running, so we picked up a couple of little bits of goodies.
And then obviously the event as well, which we never raised, they raised some money for the local scout group.
Yes, they did, yeah.
And they had a raffle,
didn't they?
There was two army boxes, the African Corps and the 8th Army boxes. And us both having been previously been scout leaders, it's always great to support the scouts. So, yep, missed out by two numbers on tickets. But,
Now tables. What about tables at Cambridge? There was
some stunning.
There was nearly 50 tables. I think we ended up with 94 people.
Yep.
6 dropouts on the day. I think we technically had space for 104 entrants. So 52 tables technically.
Well, there's some stunning tables down there.
There were one or two stunning tables. How they do it is the guys themselves actually set up 20 plus tables.
Yep.
And there was maybe
30 tables that were
just
by
under 38 tables brought. Yeah, round about 30 tables brought by entrants.
Yep.
So they were there. We brought down a couple of tables. There was a little competition for the best table.
Yep.
And it was won by the desert table that I played on first with Kaz.
Fantastic looking table.
It was a nasty table, but it was
bizarre and all this sort of stuff, didn't it?
It did. But it was, I'm gonna let me put it in the right words to get it out. It made you think, that table, and I really liked it because both I and Kaz really liked playing that table, and it did take a lot of thinking about where you would come position stuff, just the way it was laid out. I'm hoping that was by design. Because I really enjoyed that table, so yeah, and it was a lovely table to play on. So
looked fantastic as well.
It did. So it was nice to see a lot of different terrain at an event. A lot of things that we hadn't seen before. There was a good mixture of tables, so there were some tables were quite clustered with a lot of stuff on it. One or two tables were quite open and empty, I believe.
Oh, just a little.
But there was only a few of them. You happened to play on one of them, which didn't suit your army. Yeah, so
I played the first game against Ali. It was on basically short side to short side, a long road that went right across. We built to either side, almost like the way you set up your market garden table. So
yeah.
So it was basically a couple of buildings either side, a couple of fields either in the corners on either sides, very symmetrical. Didn't matter what side of the table you sat on. Ali, he did a refused flank on one side, and I'd written down the flank everything on the other side. So I came down about a long range thing at one point. Once I'd take my guys and the troops, he whizzed around my motorbike and my carrier started popping. He won that game, that's fair and square. Second game, I loved playing on that table because it suited me to a T. It was a podcast table.
Yeah.
And it just looked really good as well. And having been in Normandy last year and been through the Bocage, it's like, oh, this actually feels really cool. So I liked that table. I got so lucky because of my three artillery observer dropping in, taking out the M3 carrier that happened to have an engineer squad in it, a flamethrower squad in it, popped them with 6. Got the unit next to it on a 6. So, I'm nearly 4. I killed 3 units and partially destroyed the 4th. In the second turn, and that really put Aaron on the back foot. But again, started a good game with that. And then in the last game, I've never played on a table so open in my life. It was basically a runway that went corner to corner with 3 Nissan huts on either side of the runway.
So that was it.
That was it. I lost my tank really early on, and Simon had a Chaffee and an M3 with an HMG or something on it, and they just kept going about just mowing it with stuff. And he took my anti-tank rifle out with an anti-tank gunshot that he did a 7 and he popped him right in the face. Must have went right up the scope. But yeah, good game anyway. But for me, a bit more terrain on that and we could have had a different game.
Yeah, but sometimes it is nice to have an open. But I think last year I played on 2 open tables as well. So my initial impression was that, there's no fucking scenery here. But when I went back and looked at the videos of all the tables, and I've got videos of this year's tables, so go and have a look on the War HQ Facebook. I think I put up a live feed of them. When I went back to look at them last year, I realised that there was only half a dozen open tables. I just happened to play on 2 of them, to have some clear tables. It's nice to have some chock-a-block tables and all those stages in between. I really liked the tables when I went round and saw them, and I thought there was a good mix. So, yeah, well done everybody that brought tables to the event.
Absolutely.
Oh, we all getting dry.
Definitely.
The beer's coming out already.
I wish it was.
So, yeah, that was the tables. There was a little bit of... there was a wee sort of tuck shop. The scouts were on a wee tuck shop table.
Yep.
So we could get something to eat if we wanted. There was good spacing between the rounds. There wasn't an awful lot of space between the tables, because obviously we're trying to get a lot of tables into small space.
That said, I'm a big guy and I didn't feel like I was banging into people.
Yeah. I was doing a test for a company of an army tray, and there wasn't really anywhere to put it, so, yeah. You know, I'd have been better off with a smaller tray or something.
Yeah, every time I played a game, I went and got a spare chair stuck it next to me.
Yeah.
Tucked it a wee bit underneath so I can put my casualties on it.
That's nothing. So what I'd love to do is actually get a little fold-away trolley that I could open up. But anyway.
Dude. What? Must be folding tables that you take and you sit down next to you when you're having your dinner at your front of the telly. Fold-away table things. Just need some of them.
We'll have a conversation about this later. We've had a brainwave already.
I'm going to start taking one of them,
but yeah, I want something that's just a little foldaway table that I can put up and take down and is able to use as a tray with legs on, essentially.
Got two.
Wouldn't be good. Oh, we could be going to the garage on a quick bit of here. So yeah, that was the tables. Prizes at Cambridge. There wasn't as many prizes as last year, but it was still pretty well prized out.
Oh god, aye, there was 37, yeah. 38 prizes. But you know what, if you're going to a tournament that you're paying £14 to enter, and you're expected to come away with a prize for everyone, then why? You're going down there for three games and a laugh.
And organisers can spend an awful lot of their time mixed up with trying to find prizes. And I think sometimes organisers may feel under pressure to provide a prize for everybody. For some people it can be quite a difficult job to go around essentially blagging as much kit as you can from people, and there are quite a number of competitions that are on, and you do see the same people supporting competitions in general.
Yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning that Rubicon are a very good supporter of competitions. Steve and the guys there, and Edwin, the owner of Rubicon, they do a great job in, you know, supporting competitions. They'll give, you know, half a dozen boxes to decent sized tournaments every time. Warlord love to support competitions. They moved away from giving boxes to giving vouchers, simply so you can have a bit more choice about what you get as a prize, and I kind of like that.
I'd much rather get a voucher anyway.
Yeah, so I mean, there's pros and cons. Some people like a box, but hey, I quite like the voucher. And of course, they're giving away, for the bigger tournaments, 24 and over, they're giving away the free entry to the Warlord GT. And you get your... They're not nipples, they're miniature trophies. I believe Warlord get rather upset when you call them nipples. They are miniature trophies.
A nipple sticking out.
Of a nipple sticking out. Anyway, but yeah, it is what it is. So yeah, you get the miniature trophies. So they're seen at an awful lot of events, and they were actively... John and indeed now myself were actively looking for people to let us know other competitions, events, tournaments, so that we can actively try and support either with prizes or with publicity, etc., for the event. There was a few other companies as well. I can't remember any of them off the top of my head, but there were a lot of people. I think Steve, who runs a wee shop, had extensively sponsored his own event or given prizes for it. So I thought the prizes were pretty good on the day, actually. I'm sure some people would have been disappointed because everybody got a prize, and some people got two prizes last year. But I think they did very well. What else happened on the day? I think we've almost covered it, really.
Yeah, completely covered the event itself. All I can just reiterate how good an event it was.
Yep, I would definitely go again if it's on again. So we'll see in the coming months what the news is on that front. What else were we going to talk about?
I'm trying to remember. We discussed this before we separated. We're talking about such and such. Yeah, we've covered Rose, we've covered Cambridge. I suppose we should give a shout out to Rab, because Rab's organising the first tournament for Stirlingmoor Gaming Club.
Yep.
It's being held
confusingly
in Falkirk. Confusingly in Falkirk, but yeah, so that's next month, towards the end of April. Looking to get that up above the 24
player
mark, so we can get the miniature trophies. But that's looking really good. There's a lot of new names coming along, especially on the Scottish scene that we've not really seen before. Hopefully they enjoy it and start coming to the rest of the events. We can really grow that.
Yep, next week there's the British Bolt Action League down in Nottingham. The early bird entries will have stopped by the time you hear this, but you can enter by contacting myself, paul.walker@warlordgames.com. And you can get a late entry for £20 up until Friday night. So we could still make space for anybody that would like to take part in that. I can't think of what other events are on. Something off the top of my head. Adepticon at the end of the month. I'll be going to Adepticon, meeting up with Warlord guys there again.
And after that, it's a few months down the line before we've got anything back up in Scotland.
Scotland, yeah.
So Worf, I think, will be in our club. It'll be sort of end of June, July. Sort of time, I think. Can't remember exact dates.
So I think we're probably getting to the end of this now. If you guys have got comments, suggestions, I'm sure Topher's got one or two suggestions of where I can put it. For those of you that don't know, Topher and I had a bit of a grudge challenge going on.
Fun grudge challenge.
Well, it was supposed to be fun grudge challenge. But we know what I'm like. I get all serious. Topher injured his back on the morning of the competition. So I would just like to say to Topher, thank you very much for carrying on and playing, even though you were obviously in discomfort. He did very well. He was very magnanimous and allowed me to beat him so that we could carry on our grudge into yet another game. And and I commiserate with him, because he will no doubt have to put up with a tirade of abuse from the rest of the juggernauts after being beaten by the mighty Dutch. So we'll see how that works out. But from me, Paul, at the War Room, it's a goodbye. And from
Ryan
at the War Room, it's a goodbye.
Yeah,
take care. Mahalo, everybody.